The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. It's great to have all of you here, and we have Matt Stinchcomb coming up here in a couple of minutes. So let's continue with more phone calls, and Corey is up next. Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed your interview with the Florida reporter yesterday. I can't remember her name.
Cassidy.
Cassidy, yes. Toward the end of the interview, you asked her, I think you asked her what should Florida fans' expectations be, and her response was not to lose to Kentucky.
That's pretty good.
I thought that was great. And my question for you is, what do you think our expectations should be? Should it really be, realistically, should it be to compete in the college football playoff every year, or are we supposed to settle for, making it to the SEC championship every year? I mean, what do you think a realistic expectation is for a Gator fan like myself?
I think realistically, the goal of the Florida coach is to get to Atlanta. I think the playoff is a little bit different because you're still playing in the Nick Saban era. So I think expectations have to be tempered a little bit from a national championship standpoint. But I think if you're at Florida, you have to think we belong in Atlanta. Forget Georgia. We're the University of Florida, and this is our tradition. And I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm just saying that that's the Florida that I know. You tell me. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No. I agree. I mean, I think back to the '90s when we were, in the SEC championship very frequently, and then the late 2000s, and then last year, that was our chance, and. And I can't believe we didn't make the most of it. I absolutely agree. It'd be nice to make it into the playoff one year, though.
Well, I think you have to look at it that way, and forget what he's paid. Everybody's paid a lot of money. This is not about a dollar amount. It's about expectations and what you're called upon to do. Yeah, this isn't Mississippi State where Mullen used to be. This is Florida. And Florida can win national championships. And, just go to the Florida trophy case and see how many SEC titles are there under Urban and Steve Spurrier. And I think that's what Dan Mullen has to do. And, if he can't do it, then that's a conversation for another day. But right now, he's beaten Georgia once. You need to do better than that. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Richard is in Florida. Hello, Richard. Go right ahead.
Hey, yeah. Paul, I just want to say one thing about Florida. Nick Saban's he's a better recruiter. And the Georgia's a great coach, a good coach, but he's a better recruiter. Until Florida starts recruiting, It's not gonna happen for Florida. So Florida fans ought to know this. For Alabama is playing with the best players in the country. I understand that 80% of their players are 5- and 4-star players. Georgia last year, I think their recruiting class had 26 5-star players. Florida's got one. And listen, it's about the Jimmys and Joes as far as I'm concerned. And Florida's not getting them. And until this coach at Florida can figure out how to get a lot of 5-star players and better recruiting, it's not going to happen for Florida.
Richard, that's what it's all about. You can maybe pull an upset, but I had a head coach tell me recently, we were talking about Nick Saban. He said, listen, we can give it a shot, but you're up against 5-stars across the board. And that is difficult to contend with. And I think your point is excellent. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. But what's the excuse to lose to Kentucky, though? And I'm not disparaging Kentucky. They're recruiting much better. What Kentucky is doing better than almost anyone other than Alabama and Georgia is developing players. That's a big deal. Patrick is up next in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, thank you for giving me the time.
Thank you for calling.
I was wondering about something. I played at Kentucky under Glenn Carter, and Kentucky now has teams that can go, and they have a good coach, and I think we're just on the horizon, and we're going to be there. But I noticed something in that game of the Florida and the Kentucky game that I wonder about. No one ever has said anything about it. It was right before the half. Did Florida run the clock out with about a minute and a half left to go?
I believe they did, yes.
Was there any reason for that or anything? I never got the reason for that.
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, it was kind of weird. We usually have those bad things happen to us, but we don't anymore. We seem to be going in the right direction now. And I'm a big SEC fan, and thank you for taking my call.
Well, you take care of yourself. Thank you very, very much. Bill is in Louisville. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got three questions for you. The first one is regarding Kentucky. If Kentucky goes to Baton Rouge this weekend and walks out with a W, is Coach O walking out with a pink slip? The second one is, if Mark Stoops continues the way he's going, how soon is he going to be a hot commodity? And the third one's a tough one. Who do you got tonight, the Yankees or the Red Sox?
I'll try to remember the questions. I think... what was the first question again? I was fixating on the third question.
The first question is if Kentucky walks out of Baton Rouge.
Okay, I got you. The answer is no. I don't think Ed Orgeron is going to be fired after that game. I think it's going to play out a little bit longer if he loses, and that would be the third loss. And I can't tell you at what point. Usually one thing athletic directors like to do, if they're going to make a change mid-season, they will more than likely pick a bye week, and LSU has a bye week before Alabama, so that would be a point of reference I would look at very closely. Mark Stoops, very well thought of in the coaching world, and yes, I do think he would be a hot commodity. The name, a couple of, you always hear Mark Stoops connected to Florida State because he has history there. I don't think Florida State will make a change, but I would look for Mark Stoops' names to be mentioned. That doesn't mean he'll leave. I don't think he is looking to leave. As far as tonight, I grew up a Yankees fan, so I think you know where my allegiance lies. What about you?
There you go. Go Pinstripes.
You got it. Yeah, I didn't grow up in New York, as some of you know, but my dad did grow up in the Bronx and was an avid Yankee fan, and I still follow them. I've been to a few games up there when I'm in town, but this is unique. A lot of you were not alive in 1978 when they had a similar situation, but I still remember that game. It was an afternoon game, and of course Bucky Dent was the hero. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Mac is in Arkansas. Hey, Mac.
Hey, Paul. Love your show. Thank you for answering me.
Sure.
They've talked about Alabama, Georgia. We got a big game this weekend. I think it's going to be the biggest one of the weekend. That's Arkansas and Ole Miss. And I just wanted your comment on that. And I just want you to know, Paul, woo pig suey Razorbacks. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I think it's a really huge game. I agree with you on that, because one of these teams will be heading in the wrong direction with a loss here. This is really important. I favor Ole Miss a little bit right now. Haven't really given the game a lot of thought, but I will, and we'll talk to people covering the game on the broadcast crew on Friday. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We are going to continue with more of your phone calls. Matt Stinchcomb joining us in a couple of minutes. We'll get him to break down some of these games and look ahead, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you with us, and let's get to the calls. And Augie is in New Orleans.
Hey, hey, you know Tulane's in New Orleans, too.
I did know that.
You know how Leo probably spells Tulane? T-W-O hyphen L-A-N-E. Paul, I got to ask you a question, and I hope you don't take it too personally, but do you know any Cajuns, Paul?
Yes, I do.
They are the salt and pepper of the earth. And no, you don't, because you were in Shreveport, and that is not
Cajun
country, Paul.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to get it straight.
Yeah. And since I was in Shreveport, Augie, I have not been to Louisiana since.
Well, I'd probably stay out because it's not too safe now with Edo. But it's funny because Leo kind of proved my point. He talked about how everybody loves Coach O, and of course you can't tell that by reading the Twitter and the news feeds because they all want O's head on a platter. But he recited O's resume to justify why O is such a good coach. Now, if you were in court, would you take that tactic, Paul?
No, the problem for O is not me. It's people down where you are. And I mean, there was an item in an article in The Athletic by Bruce Feldman, who is a very objective person on every subject, especially O, since he did a book with O a year and a half ago. And he said that Scott Woodward has been looking around since last season.
I saw that, and it's given me great hope, because I don't know what goes on in Scott Woodward's mind or behind the scenes in the football office, but you got to believe, as you say, and I'm putting the heat on Woodward, because blaming O and yelling at O and being mad at O is like being mad at the little four-year-old running around the restaurant causing havoc. He doesn't know any better. I mean, that's just what he does. He's a four-year-old. But you blame the parents. And you don't know if the parent's going to get up and whack the little kid and everybody will applaud for, you know, settling him down. We don't know what Woodward's doing. But I think you're right.
You know, hey, let me read this, because I just found it, what Bruce said. He said he's not even 2 years removed from leading LSU to the national title and arguably the greatest season in college football history. But industry experts believe Tiger Brass, namely Athletic Director Scott Woodward, would like to make a coaching change and have felt that dating back to last season. So, again, that's not his opinion. He's quoting people in the industry.
Well, and it was obvious last year after that Mississippi State game that nothing was done with this team. And I was ready to get rid of O then, and we should have gotten rid of him. So as far as Leo goes, I think Leo's got to be related to O in some way or some form. But Leo's not totally stupid. He doesn't like Rabelais, does he?
Well,
he
but
does not like Rabelais.
I thought Rabelais was very measured yesterday.
Well, you talked to Leo before you interviewed Rabelais, and I thought that was a good interview with Rabelais. I always give him hell, but, you know, sometimes you just want them to come out with the torches in the night like you are and, you know, run through the village. And but Rabelais is measured. But Gilbo, I love Gilbo. I think he's great. I think he calls it the way he sees it. So I don't know why he's down on Gilbo.
Yeah, and Gilbo, 2 weeks ago, I believe, wrote that if O lost in Starkville, which of course he won, he said he could be fired. I mean, this is not a media fabrication. I frankly am a little surprised. Pete Thamel had a piece today. I'll read you an excerpt of that in a minute. That was much tougher than anything we've had on this program so far.
Well, I think at least the stars are lining up. The question now is who is Scott Woodward got on speed dial? But, Paul, again, I'm amazed by your influence with the medical community. I didn't know it reached into Memphis. So if I ever have a condition, first thing I'm going to do is tell them, got a pain in my side, and Paul Feinbaum is somebody that represents me. And what's the deal with Legend? Everybody's on him today. I mean, it seems like Jim's the only one coming to his defense. But, Paul, if you put Jim and I-Man into one of those WWF or whatever E cage matches, who do you think's going to walk out alive?
Jim and I-Man?
Yeah.
Well,
I think I-Man is
significantly younger, so I'm going with the younger man.
Ooh, significantly younger. I mean, I-Man, I was under the wrong impression because, you know, I'm still a newcomer to your show, and I thought Jim was part of the Mercury 7, so I'm really surprised that he wasn't one of your originals. I thought he was.
He's only been part of the show for, dating ourselves here, he's only been part of the show for 20 or 19 years, according to him.
Oh, wow. And then I-Man just referred to him as basically moon dust. So I guess there's a lot of animosity going on between. But I can understand the I-Man Jim controversy. You know, that's Alabama Auburn. I mean, me and Leo, that's like blue on blue crime. You know, it's LSU fan fighting LSU fan.
No, you're a Tulane. You're a Tulane guy.
Tulane guy. Hey, Paul, have a great show.
Thank you. Daryl is up next.
You know what? We don't want to be number one yet. Until we beat Alabama, okay, they are still the cream of the crop. No doubt about it. But I'm hearing all this for who is Georgia play. Well, when we played Clemson, I mean, they were number two. I can't tell what happened to them at this end. When we play Arkansas, it's supposed to be all just, you know, this high-potent team getting all this love, and then we beat them, and now they're no good anymore. I mean, you know what? They say Georgia, I said our schedule was easy. If you look at it, we played Clemson, they were ranked. We played Arkansas, they were ranked. Playing Auburn this weekend, they're going to be ranked. Kentucky's probably going to be ranked. Florida's going to be ranked. That's half of the schedule right there against ranked teams. But, Paul, are you listening?
Daryl, whether I want to or not, I am, yes.
Okay, very good. I want to tell you how this defense, Paul. Arkansas had the ball 10 possessions, Paul. Out of those 10 possessions, 7 of them were 3 and out for a total combined negative 12 yards. This is a defense like I've never seen at Georgia. Just absolutely phenomenal performance so far. And I know people say we ain't played nobody, but whatever, I think we have. But it's just, I mean, what they've been able
Daryl,
to do.
Daryl, who is the who would you say is the best offense you played?
The offense that we played, well, probably, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell with this defense, Paul. I mean, you don't know how good their offense is. You see them running points against A&M. You see them running points against Texas and everybody else, but they haven't seemed to run up any points on Georgia. I mean, we've only given up 23 points all year.
Daryl, I appreciate that. I was aware of that, but it's always good to be reminded. Thank you. Let's check in with James, who is up next. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
Wanted to give you a little bit of reassurance on your cataracts.
Well, thank you.
I'm 72, and I've had both of mine operated on, and it's the best thing I ever did. I've got 20/20 in one eye and 20/25 in the other eye, and I wore glasses for 45 years, and I no longer wear glasses.
Well, that is amazing.
I have to wear glasses to read. I take that back.
Sure.
I have to wear glasses to read.
Well, I appreciate the information. Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that.
All right. Have a good day, bud.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't need to call doctors anymore. I'll just talk to the that was reassuring. Appreciate that. Let's take a break. Matt Stinchcomb, who does not wear glasses either, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, let me get in gear here because, I mean,
we're just shucking and grinning.
I mean, I love when Matt Stinchcomb comes in because I find out what's going on, and sometimes the television camera gets in the way of progress. We were talking about Dan Mullen there. I want to start there because, he always seems to be on at odds with the media when it comes to losing, which, by the way, nobody likes to lose.
Right. You know, one of the questions was, I think, you know, coach, did you feel like you got out-coached? Has a coach ever really said, yeah, you know what, Dad, those other guys are just better than us this week?
Well, they usually say they outplayed us, they outcoached
us. That's right. But they'll say it, I think it's the idea that you would suggest it, and now I'm going to acknowledge it. Yeah. I can't think of a single time where a coach has been accepting of that proposition. It's something that they would want to control that. And I will say this, that for him, given on the heels of last year's successes, and I think what might have been, could have been in the Swamp versus Alabama, you know, did that recast what this season probably could have, should have looked like? I mean, I remember I came on here and it was after that Alabama game and I'm going, golly, you know, maybe Alabama isn't as far along as we thought they were. And maybe they weren't, in a tough environment, all the things. You know, maybe Florida isn't as far along as we thought they were. Look, last year, they lost. That offense has been gutted. It's been reimagined now, and it's more run-oriented. It's vastly more run-oriented than it was a season ago. But, it's no coach likes to lose. No coach likes to have a streak end on their watch. Let's be real. In that Florida-Kentucky series, that streak should have ended a couple more times.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's been – there have been really narrow escapes by the Gators, and especially – in Lexington, and finally Kentucky didn't, you know, shoot themselves in the foot. They got out of their own way and were able to get the win.
Talking to Matt Stinchcomb, Matt, LSU plays at Kentucky this weekend, and LSU fans keep schedule watching, trying to figure out where can they win games. And there are a couple of opportunities, and this seems like one of them, but it's week to week right now for that program.
I think it is, yeah. I very much think that it is. It's week to week where you're sitting there and you're watching them. And you think about last week, okay, where, you know, were it not for some heroics by Bo Nix, you know, does the game break the other way? I think it does. I mean, you're talking about two, you know, a couple fourth down conversions, one for a touchdown. He played great on third downs, but it wasn't because of the way things just unfolded the way they would have intended. It's because he just extended plays and eventually guys uncover versus man coverage. So LSU right now, the challenge to me is, it's going to be a tough out on the road in Lexington. That's now become an incredibly hostile place to play. And we saw it this past week. Florida had 15 penalties. 8 of them were procedure penalties on offense. False starts.
Why did that happen?
You know, it's clear that I think what we're seeing this year, just in general, is on the heels of what was almost like an operating room-like environment, where in COVID, nobody's in these stadiums. What was hostile about last year?
Nothing.
Nowhere. You know, you just show up, you play. You got coaches.
The COVID test.
Yeah, the COVID, that's right. Yes, hostile and invasive. And you look at it and you're going, this year, and you got all that pent-up energy. These fans are like, finally, we get something. We get to come out here. We get to cheer for our teams. We've got something to cheer for. We've seen in-game environments influence the outcome of games, I think, more directly than in recent memory, where you got Arkansas jumping off sides or false starts twice in a row to start the game. And you think, that's 10 yards. 10 yards right out of the gate, backing yourself up. All the penalties for Florida, the difficulties that Alabama had on the road in the Swamp, Auburn on the road at Penn State, All those things, I think, are influencing the ability for these offenses to operate under duress.
Yeah, there were people telling us, and you're out there every week, you hear the same thing, but there were Alabama people telling us Saturday morning, they were prepared, and then they got there, and they could not believe the environment. And I know that they start off fast, but once things slowed down a little bit and Florida got the crowd back in it, the Alabama people were saying, we were somewhat lost for a while, and I think that's happening everywhere.
It's happening everywhere, and I think the difficulty is how you go about communicating, and we've got new people doing that in some of these places where, you know, like Emory Jones. So Emory Jones, this is his first year as a regular starter, as a guy is starting at that position. You go on the road, first time this year really, in a hostile environment, it's just not easy. It's not an easy environment to operate in. You think about Alabama, Bryce Young, first time he goes in a road environment, hostile environment, it's just not easy. Same would be true. KJ Jefferson, first year starter, first time on the road, hostile environment, and this is versus really good defenses. So you can't concede 5 and 10 yards just on procedure alone. These guys are likely going to win their one-on-one matchups. They're probably better. The defense at Georgia is better than most, if not all, that they're going to line up against. You can't afford to give them another 5 yards to defend just because you can't hold your water. But that's how difficult it's been this year for these offenses.
You know a lot about elite defenses. You've faced them. And the consensus is building about this Georgia defense. Talk about that part of it and you know, we all know what it's faced. We know what it will face later on, too.
Right. Yeah, it gets tougher, right? I mean, because Arkansas wasn't really at full strength, and I don't know that Arkansas is one of the better offenses. I think they're a good offense. They're good enough to win a lot more games, I think, this year. But is it one that's overly threatening or one that's equipped to threaten that defense regularly? It's not. You know, it isn't. KJ Jefferson wasn't full speed. Treylon Burks, I don't think, was really full speed in that game. They needed to be, and they needed to be almost superhuman, I think, because that's how good this defense is. But what they're doing, I think, more than anything else defensively is Georgia's, they are forcing the issue into these long third downs. You aren't going to be comfortable tackle to tackle. So they've eliminated the run game, I think, to just perimeter runs and trying to nibble at the edges. They have speed to get to the sideline, so that's going to be really difficult, too. If you take a shot on first down and you don't hit it, then now you're facing second and 10. And what, you got to pick up 4 yards at best? And what is your high percentage 4 yard play to get you to third and 6? And so because I think it's so daunting that they're eliminating the middle of the formation because they've been that good. And it seems like by scheme, that has been their intention where, yes, they'll bring edge and field pressure at times, but their inside linebackers have been so active this year, and not just in blitz situations on obvious passing downs, but I'm talking about on rundowns. You can go all the way back to the first offensive snap that they faced defensively versus Clemson. They brought both inside linebackers on a crossdog and both those A-gaps, where it's like, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to get to the sidelines and out. Otherwise, we're going to try to keep you in this box, and we're going to eat you alive. And that's the way that it has worked so far this season. It's made it very, very difficult. And I think it's afforded that secondary enough time to where their new faces, because they're down there, what, top 8 guys or something like that in that secondary, to kind of get their legs underneath them to where they're not panicking as much with the ball in the air, which is what we saw early on in the season. You would think by the end of the year they will be seasoned enough, especially on the edges, when they get healthy at safety. Tyke Mitchell gets back out there. That will help them. I haven't seen them, I don't think, spend any time in their dime package with 6 DBs out there because they just don't think – I don't think they can go that deep. That was one of their more exotic blitz personnel groupings in previous years, and they haven't been in it that much this year because of the personnel.
I want to talk a little bit about what we saw in Tuscaloosa with Ole Miss and Alabama, and especially from the Ole Miss side. Lane Kiffin's taken enormous heat this week. That's okay. He was praised.
He can handle it.
He was praised equally as much the week before.
Sure.
But they now have Arkansas.
Right. And to me, this is the game where we were just talking about the rankings in the SEC West in the preseason and how upside down those really are, because a lot of people had Arkansas towards the bottom, right? And you're sitting there going, Arkansas is kind of towards the top. Everybody had A&M towards the top. A&M's maybe at the bottom at this point in that division. Now, to me, this game Saturday, the fun part about it is despite the lopsided defeats that both of those programs just endured, and they had kind of climbed in the rankings and now they've bounced down a little bit, is that that's probably the battle for the second best team in the SEC West? Could we make that statement? Because last week it was, you would think traditionally it would be Auburn, LSU. You know, who's the next best team to Alabama in the West Division? That wasn't the conversation at all. It was really like inflection point. Which team is going to trend up? Which team is going to kind of trend the opposite direction? They both have difficult outs this week with Kentucky and Georgia, respectively. But the idea that Arkansas, Ole Miss was the game where, man, we're going to find out who maybe the second best team in that division is. It's just another great Saturday lineup, in my view, because outside of the two elite teams, which is a word that's getting beaten into the ground, in Alabama and Georgia, the balance of the conference is fascinating because I don't know that I have a clear-eyed view as to who the next best team is immediately after Georgia. Is it Kentucky? Was it an anomalous performance by Florida? Is it Arkansas? Is it Ole Miss in the West Division? I don't know, but we will at least find out who's better this Saturday because they face each other directly.
In terms of just jaw-dropping surprise, I think a lot of people looking down at their phones wherever they were Saturday kept, I know what people I was with kept saying, what's going on here? And we're talking about Tennessee at Missouri. If Tennessee had won the game, I would have been surprised. But to win it by nearly 40 points was shocking.
62 points, right? And you're talking about a team that was, look, they had a defensive-minded coach in Jeremy Pruitt. They could not solidify the quarterback position. Offensively, it's borderline inept. And Josh Heupel comes in with the promise of, we're going to be more explosive offensively. And you think, that sounds good. Most of your team is in the transfer portal and somewhere else now. And so how are you going to do that? And I will say that I think it's a function of two things. It always is. Where's Missouri now? And when you think back to that Missouri-Kentucky game, Kentucky kept Missouri in that game in a lot of ways. You're fumbling into the end zone. It was not the best performance where Kentucky could have put them away, and it probably changes the complexion of the game. Otherwise, it seems close, so perhaps Missouri's better than maybe they actually are or would have appeared to be. Defensively, Missouri's got some serious issues, and you could tell, obviously, Coach Drinkwitz deciding to part ways with his defensive line coach. We've seen firings already this year.
This is the second week in a row we've seen that.
I know. It really is, and you think back to, Brian Harsin's in year one.
Yeah.
And so maybe you got a guy in a position that you were thinking maybe for recruiting purposes or whatever that was at wide receiver. But for Missouri to make that change, where previously it was Brick Haley, it was Ryan Walters, the defensive coordinator. He leaves the program. Brick Haley, no longer the defensive line coach there, a guy that's been in this conference a long time. And now you're making a change at your defensive front. It's not ideal. And you have to wonder, what were the precursors to that decision? But it's obvious that defensively, and that's not to absolve the offense at Missouri either, they've got issues. There's no doubt about it. And it's going to be tough sledding ahead. When the guy who started at quarterback for you the first two or three games last year is now playing for you in the secondary, that just shows how thin they are defensively. They don't have a great group of personnel or roster to win a lot of games defensively right now.
We always go along with Matt because I'm so fascinated, and these guys keep saying, wrap it up. I said,
I won't shut up.
I'll do whatever I want to do. Thanks, Matt.
Your name's on the show, Paul.
It's always great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too, man.
Fantastic conversation on these Tuesday afternoons. We'll take a break. We'll head to Kentucky in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He is legend from Alabama.
Get your popcorn, baby.
I got it right here. It's a day old, but I got it.
Oh, how you doing today, Pop? How you doing today, bro?
We're doing great, legend. Thanks. Thank you for calling.
Man, it's always awesome to talk to you, brother. You know how much I love you, man. And I just say this, you know, I appreciate Jim, who I consider a Hall of Fame caller, coming on here and defending me. But I don't need defending. Let the haters hate. I enjoy it when the haters hate, Paul. I don't care. I still don't like Pete Golden. Get over it. Paul, I still don't like you, brother. So I mean, I'm going to come on here and say what I want to say, Paul. I don't care what hater don't like it or what they don't say or what they think. Because one thing about the legend, I'm not afraid to put it out there before it happens. You know what I'm saying, Paul?
I know what you're saying, legend. Speak on, brother.
Don't make me preach. I'll get like TV.
I want to hear a sermon right now, right here on this Tuesday afternoon.
Let me just... Good. That's just a fact of the...
Legend, your phone is not working very well. I don't know where you are or what you're doing. If you're going to give a sermon, you have to be heard.
Can you hear me better now, Paul?
I can hear you.
All right, I said bad coaches, good players, great players make bad coaches look good, Paul. That's just a fact of the matter. If you don't believe that, go ask LSU fans... show. And the fact that great players made a bad coach look good 2 years ago. Well, great players made Pete Golden look good. That don't mean that he's a great defensive coordinator. That just means that Alabama has great players.
Okay, legend. I'll tell you what. We're gonna have to. You're gonna have to find a better cell zone, and we'll get this call back in the final hour. We just can't let a Sermon on the Mount be garbled because of bad cell reception. Let's continue with more phone calls. And how about Dawn, who is up next? Hey, Dawn.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, you know, the criticism of Mullen and comparing the two coaching performances, I think, is very misplaced. You take a look at the numbers in the game. Florida had about 400 yards of offense. Kentucky, I think, had about 200. What I would like to know from these people, what did Stoops do that was so spectacular? Certainly it wasn't coaching. If anything, you could make the argument that Mullen outcoached him. 15 penalties, blocked field goal, 10-point swing. You can coach him. Obviously, the player's got to execute.
Well, I think where the perception would come down was on the final series where Mullen's offense was shut down. I mean, that's what I think it's all about, because you're right. I mean, there was a big play. The field goal block was critical. The penalties were there, but ultimately, yeah, when you are Dan Mullen and you're one of the best known minds in the game, and you lose a game that hasn't been on the docket as a loss in 36 years, you're going to get criticized.
Absolutely. I'm not suggesting that perhaps something of that isn't warranted. However, and suggest he was outcoached by Stoops is ludicrous. Stoops did nothing to outcoach the guy.
Well, what Stoops did, though, is prepare a team. He's built a team. And, you know, he is now enjoying the spoils of those fruits. So, you know, coaching and out-coaching is just a perception. It's what we do. Chris Rodriguez Jr. can talk about how Kentucky got to where they are. He will join us in a moment.